Sportsnet.com Sideline Report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. A little bit later on today, we're going to talk Caldwell County Tiger football with offensive coordinator Bradley Stallings, who will join us in the studio. The Tigers will host Union County out at Tiger Stadium Friday night, looking to improve to 3-0 on the season. Big game coming up in Lexington this Saturday afternoon as the Kentucky Wildcat football team hosts the Ole Miss Rebels. And we're going to talk UK sports this morning with longtime University of Kentucky sports writer Larry Vaught. And we'll do that when we come back. Stay with us here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Since 1894, serving as your steadfast local banking choice for Fredonia Valley Bank. The world has transformed since then, but their dedication to you, their neighbors, has not wavered. Navigate financial complexity with a bank that's powered by 129 years of excellence. They're committed to investing in their community and the prosperity of their customers. Remember, choose local, live local, dine local, shop local, and bank local. Fredonia Valley Bank, where local people make local decisions. Your genuine community bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Summer nights, windows down, adventure calls. At U-Ride in Princeton, your next road trip just got a whole lot closer without breaking the bank. From reliable sedans to spacious SUVs, there's something for every dreamer and cruiser. Need help with financing? U-Ride offers in-house options that fit your budget so you can turn those summer plans into reality. Drive away happy. U-Ride, committed to you after the sale. Visit them on Marion Road to start your journey today.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
It's finally Black Patch Heritage Festival time. Don't miss all the time-honored events. Food, free inflatables, games for the kids, live music, vendors, and more. Join WPKY Saturday, September 6th in downtown Princeton as Tess broadcasts live from 10 to 1 with all the details and fun. Brought to you by Hancock's Neighborhood Market, Herb Hayes Furniture, Joyner Hardware, Morgan's Funeral Home, Penny Riley Electric, and our community partner, Fredonia Valley Bank.
We are back on the Sideline Report here at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for joining us this morning. As promised, Larry Vaught, longtime UK sports writer covering UK sports, and you can read his work over at yoursportsedge.com as well. Larry joins us now. Larry, good morning, and thanks for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
Absolutely. Big game coming up for the UK Wildcats this Saturday. And just how big a game is this for Mark Stoops and his troops this Saturday?
Well, I think it could actually be kind of a career-defining game for Mark. If his team is able to find a way to win this game, I think it changes the whole narrative about what this season might be like and will kind of rejuvenate fan enthusiasm and everything for this year. If he loses this game, then I think a lot of folks will say, yeah, what we thought was going to happen will happen. They might win the three games against lesser teams and then struggle against every SEC team in Louisville, and it's going to be a long year. So I think this is a, even though it's only the second week of the season, it's probably a very, very pivotal game for Kentucky.
A lot has been made. Maybe Mark Stoops on the hot seat. I don't know if that's the case or not there in Lexington. I think the guy's kind of maybe earned the opportunity to decide when he wants to leave, but certainly a win over Ole Miss this week would go a long way to maybe easing fans' concerns. And hey, Kentucky actually has a recent win over Ole Miss.
They do. They surprised Ole Miss down there last year in a rare game where it seemed like in the fourth quarter, everything went Kentucky's way. Kentucky gambled on 4th and 6 or 4th and 7 deep in their own territory and hit about a 65-yard bomb to Berrien Brown and then fumbled before as they were going into the end zone, but Josh Caddis fell on it, recovered, and then Ole Miss badly missed a field goal that would have tied the game and forced overtime. The kind of breaks you just don't normally see go Kentucky's way late in a game like that. So it happened last year. I think Lane Kiffin, give him credit for being very honest about that. That loss has bothered him and his team and fans for a year, and they're obviously wanting to correct that Saturday when they come up to Lexington. And as far as the hot seat, yeah, I think if he loses this game, the seat stays pretty hot. The question is it hot enough that you would pay him over $30 million if you do make a coaching change or not? And as you said, he's had a lot of success at Kentucky, but if you go 4-8 and you follow that up with maybe another 4-8 season, I don't know whether you can afford to keep him or not.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Mark Stoops has done a lot of really nice things with the UK football program, has had some 10-win seasons, but for whatever reason, and at least maybe from the fans' perspective, he never seems to be able to push it over the top somehow.
No, every time you felt that they were going to really go in a direction where they could sustain something, it's kind of dropped off a little bit. I think after they had that second 10-win season, I think Mark decided, yeah, we need to get a more explosive, wide-open type of offense and maybe kind of deviated from the physical brand of, or maybe even what you would call a boring brand of football that he played, but that Kentucky won, and he went out and kind of changed how he was going to approach things to try to get better, and it just hasn't worked very well because I just don't think Mark's a guy that's ever going to have a 3,000-yard passer or a guy that throws for 30 touchdowns or more in a year. That's just not how he likes to play football, and I think they're kind of trying to go back to what they had before, but whether they can totally reshape that in 1 year, especially against what looks like a really, really difficult schedule, I don't know if they can do it or not, but one thing about it, if they're going to have a shot at having a winning season or having a chance to go to a bowl game, I think you put Mississippi in the must-win category for that to happen.
As far as being the UK football coach, you're almost in a no-win situation sometimes. I think the fans kind of got spoiled going back to Tim Couch. Fans want to see a lot of points put on the board, but like you mentioned, that's not really the way Mark Stoops wants to play, and I think maybe that puts him at odds with some of the fan base at some point.
Well, I think fans like to win. And when he was winning 10 games the way that he did, that's okay. When you kind of drop back down now and you're trending the other direction, then, yeah, I think your offensive issues are a problem. There's no doubt last year the offense was just not very good. The year before with Devin Leary, I don't think it was as bad as what a lot of people seem to remember it as being. But it really wasn't. But last year it was pretty bad. And then to start out in the first game, you only throw for 85 yards and your wide receivers only have 11 yards in receiving. That's worrisome. And I don't think you have to throw for 300 yards a game to be able to win in the SEC, but I think you sure got to throw for more than 85 yards. So I'm really anxious this week to see whether Zach Calzada can complete more passes, or if he can get receivers who can get up, create separation and get open to give him a chance to do that, because it wasn't like last week he was under a lot of duress and didn't have time to make throws. A lot of times either he just didn't quite complete the pass or he didn't have a receiver open enough to complete the pass.
As far as UK competing in the Southeastern Conference goes, it seems like it's always been an uphill battle. And it didn't get any easier when Texas and Oklahoma came along. And then you have things like the NIL and the 9-game SEC schedule that's coming up. Again, if you're the UK coach, it's just a really tough situation, it seems like.
Yeah, that's why you make almost $10 million.
Yeah. I guess that helps.
Yeah, it's not like you're doing it without compensation. So, I mean, you know what you sign up for, and it's not going to get any easier, like I say, with a 9-game SEC schedule, even though this year's schedule, I don't think it can get a whole lot more difficult. It's ranked among one of the nation's top 5 schedules, so how much harder can it get even when you add another SEC game to it? But it's certainly different than it was back 20, 30 years ago, but then I also remember a time back in the mid-1970s when Kentucky scheduled a four-year series with Penn State for an out-of-conference game. So you just have to kind of play the schedule that you have. And Kentucky, I mean, they went through a stage where it looked like they had South Carolina, Missouri, Vandy. Seemed like they'd kind of moved past those teams. Now it kind of seems like they've fallen back behind those teams. And whether Mark can get that changed around with 55 new players on the team or not this year still kind of remains to be seen, or at least in my opinion it does.
Well, and you mentioned Missouri, and I think that's the one program that maybe a lot of UK fans look at, because as a UK fan, we've typically been taught, you know, we can't really compete with the big boys in the SEC. But then a lot of times you look, and Missouri, which is still relatively a newcomer to the Southeastern Conference, has had some success against some of the big boys.
They have. And like I say, for a while, Kentucky was kind of doing really well against Missouri. And that last time they came into Lexington, and Kentucky got off that big lead, and Missouri came back and won that game. It seems like that kind of started this downward spiral for Mark Stoops' team. And then last year, now they've lost to Vanderbilt 2 years in a row, and that's not what they were doing when Mark Stoops' team was trending upward. And now South Carolina also was kind of seems to be moving in a better direction than Kentucky. So this is just really a pivotal year to see if they can get things corrected and going back the right way. And maybe if you go 5-7, but 3 or 4 year losses are really close losses, and people feel like the team is playing better and playing harder, which I did think they did that first game than what they did a lot of games late last season. But I think Kentucky football fans go say, okay, maybe he's got things going back, we can be okay. But if they have as dismal a year as they had last year, I don't know how you'll be able to come back.
We're talking this morning with longtime sports writer covering UK sports, Larry Vaught. And Larry, we appreciate you joining us this morning. And as you wrote this week, Coach Stoops would be in favor of sort of a preseason scrimmage type of game to maybe work out some kinks before the season starts. And, you know, I've often wondered myself why college doesn't have some kind of thing set up where you're not just hitting the ground running in week one.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, the NBA, college basketball all do it. What's really interesting is Division II and Division III do it already. I mean, Center College here in Danville is a Division III team. They had a scrimmage game last week before they opened the season this Saturday night. And they also took an international trip to Scotland in either late May or early June and played an exhibition game while they were there against a European team. So if those teams can do that, it does kind of make you wonder why an SEC or a Big Ten team can't do that, or at least have a practice with an opposing team, maybe like what the NFL does sometimes. And you could make it really simple. I mean, I'm sure Kentucky could find a way to work it out with an Eastern or work it out with a Western, maybe work it out with a Murray. And I liked it, what Mark Stoops said about it. He wasn't interested in making it a fundraiser. He just was interested in having it to where his team could have a chance to get better. And maybe even if you just did it in the spring instead of your spring game, that's what you did. I don't know. But if not, at least sometime in August, let them do that. And I think it would benefit everybody when it comes to the level of play the first week of the season. And I don't see how it could hurt anything, so I don't really know why the NCAA wouldn't allow it, because like I say, it seems to work fine in Division II and Division III.
Yeah, the thought was that sometimes you make your most progress from week one to week two of a season, and if you had that extra game in there, sort of the preseason scrimmage game, that you'd kind of get the jitters out of the way in that one, and you'd be ready to go for the next week.
Yeah, and with the prices you're charging people to come see you play, I think people, the fans who buy the tickets, would like to see that first week game not have quite so many mistakes across the country, not just in Kentucky, but anywhere across the country. Would like to see teams come out having a chance to play their best in week one. And if you threw in some kind of exhibition, scrimmage, or whatever you want to call it, joint practice, the odds of that happening would certainly increase, I think.
Again, a big game coming up Saturday against Ole Miss. And you talked about Lane Kiffin a little bit. Do you think he has something special planned for Kentucky coming up this Saturday?
Well, he said he's been working on it for a year, and I don't doubt him at all. All summer, they've thought about things with Kentucky. I'm anxious to see whether Kentucky actually held some things back against Toledo and didn't show, which it's probably kind of hard to figure that they would, consider that it was a 10-2 game for so long, but maybe they did. I don't know. But I think definitely that probably Lane Kiffin has got some stuff that he didn't show in that opening game that he's got saved for Kentucky.
He did at least give Mark Stoops a little credit last year for you know, going for it on fourth down and taking a gamble, and that's something we don't see Stoops do a whole lot of.
No, and it probably, I mean, looking back, it's one of those things that probably works one out of 50 times. It just so happened that was the one time that it did work, and it got on a win. But even, like I say, it even took then Kentucky to get a break when they fumbled going into the end zone, and this time they just happened to recover their own fumble. But you would hope if you're going to win the game, that maybe you don't have to quite rely on those kind of heroics in the fourth quarter this time to do it. So Kentucky's got to probably play, I would guess, an error-free game on offense, just not turn it over, not give Ole Miss any points easy, because I know Brett White's defense has always done pretty well against stopping Ole Miss, but that Ole Miss offense is not going to be shut out. I mean, they're not going to not have a touchdown going to the fourth quarter, I don't think. That they're better than that. So the Kentucky offense is going to have to generate some kind of consistency, which they had a lot of trouble doing against Toledo.
Will be an interesting matchup on Saturday. And Larry, while I've got you, what's your thoughts on the UK basketball team and the roster that Coach Mark Pope has put together for the upcoming season?
Well, I think it's going to be a fun roster. And talking to a lot of those different players this summer, I mean, he's got a roster that kind of reminds you of last year as far as just the personality of the team. It's a little bit younger team, but it's probably going to be a little bit more athletic team and maybe hopefully even a better defensive team. But I think as long as Mark Pope's there, they're going to be pretty good every year. I know a lot of people think this is a team that has a chance to be a national contender again. And if all the pieces fall in place, I could see that happening. The main thing that hopefully they can do that they couldn't do last year is just stay healthy, because if they just stayed healthy last year, I think they could have been in contention to have a chance to win it all. But it's just hard to do when your roster is just constantly changing because you have so many guys missing games or out for the season, like what they had happened to them last year. So if they can stay healthy, I think it's going to be a really fun year again.
Yeah, I think they maybe caught a lot of people off guard last year with just how good they were. And I think a lot of UK fans enjoyed the season, got to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. But let's be honest with UK fans, they won't accept Sweet 16s for long. At some point, you got to get to the Final Four territory to kind of make everybody happy.
Yeah, but at least they won a game last year in the NCAA tournament.
Right, so right.
The bar was not set real high coming in for what Mark Pope had to do to start with. Now, what I like about Mark is that he sets the bar even higher for himself. You know, it's been easy to say, yeah, this is great. You know, we put together a whole new team and to get to the Sweet 16. I mean, we were happy with that. But Mark himself says, no, that's not near good enough. So he may raise the bar even higher than UK fans raise the bar.
Well, it feels though like the national media isn't really giving Kentucky basketball the love yet that maybe some of us would like.
Yeah, I think some of the national analysts don't quite believe that Kentucky is a Final Four type of team yet. Some do, some don't. But I think, and part of it could still be, you have a few questions about Jaden Quaintance, who's going to be really important to them. When is he going to be healthy, and will he be fully healthy coming off knee surgery? You think by at the latest to start SEC play he will be, but I guess there's never any guaranteed. I think that's kind of part of the uncertainty about Kentucky. And then you have the European player that's just been over here for a few weeks now. How does he fit in? Is he a big contributor, not a big contributor? So I think that's probably the two reasons some national analysts are still a little hesitant to pull the trigger on putting Kentucky too high, because they want to see how those two questions get answered.
Well, and again, kind of like football, the SEC has become a juggernaut in basketball, so there's not any easy road there. And that was kind of something basketball didn't have a problem with for a long, long time, but everybody else in the SEC has gotten good at hoops too.
Yeah, of course, Florida's a defending national champion. I don't think the SEC from top to bottom will be quite as good this year, because it was simply the best it's ever been last year. So I think some teams will be down some, but that doesn't mean they still won't be really, really good. And it's not easy to go through and win this league like what it used to be. And I know Florida, I think, has got a really, really nice roster again, and several other teams do as well. But if Kentucky, again, if they can just stay healthy and if they come together the way that I think they can, I think they'll be right there in contention for that league championship.
Yeah, it should be another fun season, and hopefully some fun for the UK football fans this Saturday against Ole Miss. Larry, as always, appreciate you spending some time with us and coming on the show this morning.
Anytime, Todd.
All right, thanks, Larry. That's Larry Vaught, longtime sports writer covering the University of Kentucky sports teams. And again, you can read his work over at yoursportsedge.com. Stay with us. More on the Sideline Report after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Bollinger Real Estate and Auction has made it their mission to build strong relationships in Caldwell County. If an auction is something necessary in your future, allow the Bollinger team to help you.
Ready for road trips, school runs, or a weekend in the city? Trice Hughes has just what you need. Check out their huge selection of new and certified pre-owned Chevrolet, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, all ready for your next adventure. Their friendly team treats you like family from the second you walk in and keeps you rolling with top-notch service every visit. Cruise into Trice Hughes in Princeton, where the perfect ride and true care come together for every journey.
This is Daniel Ingram with H&R AgriPower. Get a great deal on versatile Kubota equipment today, like the Kubota L-Series compact tractor, the number one selling compact tractor in the U.S., Z-Series mowers, and Sidekick utility vehicles. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available, or save up to $3,500. Now through September 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details. Come and see us at H&R AgriPower, 4900 Eagle Way, Hopkins.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Tess. It's time to head downtown and pick out your favorite spot. The Black Patch Heritage Festival Parade kicks off this Friday at 5 p.m. in downtown Princeton. WPKY will broadcast live as the floats, beauty queens, cars, and candy all flow down Main Street. If you're in the parade, make sure you put your name right on the side so we can get your name out on the air. Lineup starts at 4 in Butler Parking Lot. The Black Patch Heritage Festival Parade, 1580 103.3 WPKY.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks to Larry Vaught for coming on and talking UK sports with us this morning. Soccer action tonight at Butler Stadium. We'll have the Lady Tigers hosting Madisonville North Hopkins in a big 7th district matchup. Caldwell County Boys on the road playing at Trigg County in soccer action today. Also on the Caldwell County High School sports schedule, the golf team will play Trigg County over at Boots Randolph Golf Course. Coming up on Friday, big football game at Tiger Stadium against Union County. Also, Caldwell County volleyball in action on Friday. They'll go to Heritage Christian Academy in Hopkinsville for a first-round matchup in the second region, All-A Classic. Stay with us. We'll talk some football when we come back with Caldwell County football assistant coach Bradley Stallings right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Joshua Tree Boutique, East Court Square in historic downtown Princeton. A boutique filled with ladies' clothing with an emphasis on color and unique style. Beautiful jewelry, too. Follow on Facebook.
At Goodwin Insurance, they select their insurance companies the same way you do, very carefully. When you work with the agents at Goodwin Insurance, you can count on receiving fast, courteous professional service with quality protection. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Great news from Caldwell Medical Associates, now offering expanded podiatry services at the Annex. Anna Murphy and Dr. Walker Estes provide comprehensive podiatric care, from wound care to specialized treatments for foot and ankle issues. Whether you're dealing with sports injuries, arthritis, or require surgical attention, they're ready to tailor treatment to your needs. Don't let foot pain hold you back. Take the first step with Caldwell Medical Associates. Pain-free living right here, close to home.
Whether you're cruising a Kentucky country road or weaving through city streets, Tri-Hughes has the perfect vehicle for your next adventure. Discover their friendly team and check out a fantastic lineup of new, pre-owned, and certified pre-owned vehicles. There's something for every style and budget, so you can drive with confidence wherever life leads. At Tri-Hughes, you're treated like family from your first test drive to every service visit. Start your journey at Tri-Hughes.
It's volleyball time, Caldwell County.
I'm Sue Stone, and I want to invite you to join me for all of your Caldwell County volleyball coverage on WPKY.
Join Sue Stone and the WPKY Sports Edge team Tuesday, September 16th at 7 p.m. as the Lady Tigers take on Madisonville North Hopkins live from the CAV. Your home for Caldwell County Lady Tiger Volleyball.
Caldwell County Volleyball is on WPKY.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. As promised, we're going to talk Caldwell County football now with Caldwell County High School coach, offensive coordinator Bradley Stallings with us in the studio this morning. And Bradley, thanks for coming in. You guys have a big game coming up Friday night.
Thank you, Todd. Well, yeah, we do. And, you know, the Union County game is always a good game for both teams. I feel like it's usually a very evenly matched game, you know, no matter what the scoreboard shows at the end. Union County is always physical. They're usually always big, and they're well coached. So it's always going to be a good game for us. It's a good measuring stick.
Yeah, it's usually a pretty competitive game. I remember we got them out here one year, and I think they had run all over us the fourth quarter, scored a touchdown, went for two to try to win it, and for some reason threw the football. Remember that game?
I don't, but that's not surprising. I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, strange things that have happened over the years when you've been around, you know, high school sports, and I don't remember that. But I do know that we've been in a lot of very competitive and very hard-fought football games. I remember, I think it was David's first year, second year, I think maybe the biggest comeback, regular season comeback in Caldwell County football history. They were killing us the first half. In the second half, things just started clicking. And I think Will was a sophomore that year. I think that was David's first year here, and that was an unbelievable game to be a part of. So, I mean, there's events like that all through this Union County, you know, and I think this game goes back for a while. It's a long running game. So,
I think we were down about 16 in that game. I think it's the biggest comeback in school history.
That's what I thought. I thought I've heard you say that before, and I know it's the biggest one that I've been a part of as far as coming back in a football game.
So a chance to go 3-0 this week against Union County. It's been a while since we've been 3-0.
Yeah, it's been a while, you know. But I think the mindset that we've taken with our kids is, yes, it's good to be 2-0, but this is the next game, and so you know, it's one game. I know it's cliche, but it's one. We have to play one game at a time, you know. And so I heard you and Mr. Vaught talking about, you know, college not having the Division I, not having the scrimmage. And, you know, in football, you know, you play once a week. So you've got to get better every single week. And, you know, that's what we're trying to instill in our kids. You know, we are 2-0, but there's things that, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that we're starting to get better at. We've got to get better at and start clicking.
We were last 3-0 in 2014. That was a pretty good season. Started that year 9-0.
That was a pretty good season. We just this year hope. I mean, if we can repeat that, great. But we have to one game at a time. Yeah. You know.
Talk about crazy games, though. How about last week's with Marshall County?
That was a tale of two halves that we happened to come out on the winning end of. I think. You know, there was opportunities there in the second half, especially early on. I thought, you know, coming right out of halftime, for the first, you know, the first series of downs, we drove the ball, and then we had that unfortunate, you know, mishap on our part, and it kind of put us behind the chains. And, you know, from that point forward, it just seemed to kind of go downhill a little bit offensively. Defense did a great job stepping up, scoring points. And, you know, that's how you win football games. There's three facets of the game, and, you know, when you usually can win two facets of those, most of the time you're going to win. And, you know, our defense did a great job in the second half. And special teams did a good job. I think we need to, and we've talked about this week with the kids, to stay aggressive but eliminate the needless penalties, you know. And so if we do that, I think, you know, we're taking another step in the right direction.
Union County, when you watch them on film, they look a little like Marshall County to me, but maybe a little more speed out of the Union County backfield than what Marshall County had.
I think when you look at them on film, they do look similar. They're different in how they approach the game, I think, and I know they are different. But just, you know, getting off the bus, they do look similar in a lot of ways as far as their size and that kind of thing. But the way they play and the way they approach the game, they're going to be two different styles, and you know, we've got to be ready for it. Marshall County was physical with us up front, and it's good for our kids to see that going into the district competition, you know, and we're going to get that this week. Union County's big up front, and they're physical. But I think our kids, you know, we got to be up to the task, and that's what we've been preaching all week.
It's kind of tough. I think we say it every week that the other team's good-sized up front, but somehow we figure out a way to compete. But how come we're not growing those big boys here?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, we've talked about this several times over the years, and, you know, traditionally we've not been the bigger team.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever that is, we've not traditionally been the bigger team, but we've always been, you know, physical. We've always been quick. And we have to use that to our advantage. You know, I think back on the team, we've had some bigger kids, you know, along the way, but when you look across the board, and we've had some teams that have had some really good across the board size up front. But year in and year out, that's typically not us.
Yeah.
So we have to adjust and go, and that's kind of what we're doing.
Even the 1998 state championship team had some good linemen, but outside of maybe Kelly Tinsley, not a lot of size up front.
No, and you know, Kelly, size, height wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, but my goodness, was he a football player. So, you know, yeah, we don't have, you know, I think it was, you know, 96, that line was big. Kyler Kendall, Aaron, Coach McClung's son, that group was big. Austin McGowan, that group was big up front. They were huge up front. So we've had some teams that have been big up front. You know, I think it was Wayne McGowan, maybe his senior year. You know, you had Ken Argo and, you know, Mark Hooks, and that bunch was huge. I remember watching them as kids. Well, anybody seems to be big when you're a kid. But I know they were big, you know, big young men. So we've had some big lines along the way, but traditionally that's not really been us.
But there's something to be said for having those guys that maybe aren't as big, but they've got some strength, they've got some quickness, and they figure out ways to get around those big guys.
You know, tenacity and never quit goes a long way in football, because it's demoralizing when this kid just keeps coming at you and coming at you and coming at you, and you can't get him to quit.
Yeah.
That is the character that we, you know, hopefully as coaches we're building in these young men that will serve them the rest of their life, not just in between the lines on a football field. And you know, we kind of see that when kids come back and they're raising families and their daddies and they're doing their thing, and that's about as rewarding as it gets as a coach. So when you see that on a football field out of a young man, you usually can transpose that into life as they grow older, and hopefully that's what we're building in these kids.
Well, and you saw it last week on the safety. We talked about how big Marshall was up front, but Jack got in and mm-hmm. made the first hit in the end zone, and Duke finished him off for the safety and ended up being two big points for you guys.
That was exciting. There was a lot of exciting points on that game last week. Yeah. You know, and it's good to see our kids celebrate together. You know, I know we got that penalty, but I think Coach Riley, if he's sitting here, he said, man, it'd be the best rewarding penalty he's ever gotten.
Well, and it wasn't a pre-planned thing.
No.
It was spontaneous. So, I mean, it just happened.
It was absolutely organic, and it was neat to see. I mean, obviously, we got a penalty and deserved it. We deserved it. But it was
a sideline penalty and not unsportsmanlike, right?
I think so. I think so. I know coming out of halftime, it was just 5 yards. Yeah. It wasn't 15. So I'm assuming that's what it was. It was good to see, and it was good for that young man. It was good for our kids to celebrate together, you know.
When's the last time you've seen two touchdowns in the last 22 seconds of a half?
It's been a while. It's been a while. That's kind of like Reggie Miller hitting those three threes, you know, one with like 9 seconds, 6 seconds to go or something. But, yeah, that was surreal there for a minute.
And that was another case. I think Jack is the one that got through and hit the quarterback and created the loose ball that was scooped up for the touchdown there. You know, the clock was showing zero as the ball was being snapped. It was going from 1-0. So that's how close they came to not even getting that play off.
I know, and I really thought maybe they would just try to kneel it out, you know, where it was and where they were on in the field of play. But it kind of worked out in our advantage. I'd say if their coaches had it to go over, hindsight's 20/20, they probably would have took a knee right there.
Well, how crazy was the crowd at Tiger Stadium last week? And not just the Caldwell crowd. Marshall brought a huge crowd, and that was about as loud as I've heard the stadium in a long time.
That was a great atmosphere. You know, and we were sitting there about 30 minutes before kickoff, and I think it was Coach Sigler and I, and he was like, man, you think we're going to have a very good crowd? Because it was kind of thin at that yeah. point. I said, yeah, I think we will tonight. Because I knew we were having those the little cheerleaders, and you know, they bring people. And being the first home game, you know, and then that was exciting to see that big of a crowd. And I was going to mention that, and you brought that up. But that was great to see our community come out. It's just good to see support of young kids, you know, high school kids, our kids, wherever that is. But there's something special. I mean, if you, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. There's something special about Friday nights in the community of Princeton and Caldwell County. There just simply is something special. And it's not to take away from anything else. I just think when we embrace that, and I'm just thankful to be, the good Lord has allowed me to be a part of it. That's the honest to goodness truth. And, you know, I just, there's something special about that, to see, you know, people come together, old and young. There's a lot of old stories going around in those stands, I guarantee you, you know, about the Butler Building and what it was in the 1960s and 70s and 80s and, you know, this guy and that guy. And that's part of the nostalgia, and that's part of what makes Caldwell County football special. And that's one of the things we try to tell these young men once they graduate. Listen, you're now part of a group that's special. I mean, it just simply is special. Yeah. And embrace that and enjoy it. But support these others when they're growing up too, because we were supported, and that's one of the things that, again, I'm thankful that the good Lord's allowed me to give back a little bit. So,
it was interesting. I heard a lot of people say they kind of missed the old tiger on the side of the gym, but a lot of people said when the new logo lit up that it looked pretty good too.
It looked nice. You know, and I'm, you know, I, being an old Caldwell County guy, you know, Freddie the Tiger's kind of special on the side of that building, but the change is good. It's modern. It's good. You know, we'll never forget about old Freddie up there. But, you know, the change is good. It's modern. You know, we laugh and joke. I wish we'd went a step further and maybe had smoke coming out its nose when we scored a touchdown or something. But anyway, you know.
Some fireworks.
Yeah, it's a little fireworks. But, no, it's good. It looks good. I'm thankful for it. It's, you know, at night when you drive by, it's pretty.
Yeah.
It gets you, catches your eye. It catches your attention. So it's a good thing.
At this point, we have, I think, one of the better football stadiums for high school football in Western Kentucky.
Oh, absolutely. I think absolutely. The atmosphere kind of being built into the side of a hill. You know, it's the view, the countryside. You know, I've said the sunset at Tiger Stadium is about as pretty as it gets in Caldwell County. You know, we're blessed. Thank you, Lord, for this part of the country. Yeah. And you know, especially when the leaves start turning and there's Christmas in the air and fall, you know, there's just something special. The only thing I tell my children all the time, the only thing I miss about the fall is growing up, you know, you don't quite smell the dark fire tobacco like you used to when you were growing up in the fall. Yeah. And you knew then it's fall. Yeah. When you smelt that tobacco growing in, it's fall, man. And
You don't see the smoke coming out of barns the way you used to.
You don't. And, you don't, but man, it's just something special about all that and the Christmas in the air and the leaves turning and football on Friday and Saturdays. It just, to me, it just doesn't get much better than that time of year.
And coming up Friday night, we've got a pair of ranked teams at Tiger Stadium. According to BluegrassPreps.com, we're number 10 in 2A and Union County's number 10 in 3A.
You know, I just think it's going to be a really good game. Those guys are well coached. They do what they do, and they do it well. So, you know, we've got to do what we do, and we've got to do it well. I just think it's getting ready to be a really good football game. I really do. You know, they're going to come in here ready to play, and we're getting our kids ready to play.
Yeah. We're talking this morning with Caldwell County Tiger offensive coordinator Bradley Stallings. Tigers hosting Union County Friday night at Tiger Stadium. We'll come back and have more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
You look amazing. What's your secret?
Oh, girl, I've been taking the shot, the semi-glutide weight loss shot.
Isn't that super expensive and hard to get?
No, girl. I get mine at Princeton Drugstore. My starting dose was less than $50 a week, and I lost 20 pounds my first month. And if you don't have a prescription, you can talk to their telehealth physician.
Wow, that sounds great. I totally need to give them a call.
Princeton Drugstore. Your journey to feeling and looking fabulous starts here. Contact them today. Start your Sunday mornings with singing. It's the Sunday Singing starting at 6 on 1580, 103.3 online at WPKYonline.com and your free app. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins.
I am Eddie Boone.
We're your hosts along with these rotating churches, Eddie Creek Baptist, Cedar Bluff Baptist, Lebanon Baptist, Pleasant Hill Baptist, and on the fifth Sunday, the Caldwell Lyon Baptist Association. It's the Sunday Singing every Sunday starting at 6 in the morning and repeated at noon on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
It's a proven fact. Going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by a pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance. All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morse at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Appreciate you joining us this morning. We're talking football with Caldwell County offensive coordinator Bradley Stallings this morning in the studio with us. And Bradley, big game against Union County coming up. We've mentioned several times, should be a pretty even matchup. How do you guys keep getting fired up for all these close games early in the season? Because we had a close one over at Hopkins County Central, had a close one with Marshall County, and everything looks like this one's going to be close again.
Well, I just think that's kind of what you anticipate going into the game. You know, I think when we look back on film, there's things that obviously on the offensive end we've got to get better at. And it's coming. It's coming. We know we have not yet put together the game offensively that we're capable of doing, and quite frankly, a lot of that's on me. So I've got to do a better job and get these kids in more advantageous positions. And you know, and the execution, like I said, you know, being a third game, you just build every week. So I think this is going to be, I feel like it's going to be a very good football game on Friday night. I know I keep saying that, but I just believe that, you know, when you have two good football teams coming together, usually you're going to get a pretty good football game on a Friday night. So, you know, we've got our game plan, and I'm sure they've got theirs, and we'll see what happens.
Obviously, the passing game hasn't come together the way you'd like so far, but at some point that's going to click, and you guys should be a pretty balanced team at that point.
Well, that's our goal.
Yeah.
You know, that's our goal, you know, is to just keep going. You know, I don't know that we'll force anything, whether it be pass or run. You know, I just think, you know, we put together a game plan and we go at it from there based on a lot of times what we think they're going to show us. And, you know, so far, you know, we've had enough. We've had some chances in both games to kind of put the game away. And, you know, I think we did that more in the Hopkins Central game than what the score showed. We just kind of started pulling some guys out for some reasons to try to keep some things from happening. And the score was indicative of a closer game than I think really what it was. Now, last week, like you said, that was nip and tuck there in that second half. And we just got to do a better job in the second half of connecting and execution on the offensive end. And, you know, putting four quarters together, that's what we're looking for, is to put four quarters of football together on the offensive end.
I watched the Crittenden County, Union County game last week on the film, but it was kind of tough to tell what Union wants to do on defense because Crittenden was kind of running a completely different offense than what they usually run.
They did, and, you know, watching that game, I can't fault their coaches, and my goodness, they did a good job. I don't know if they've been installing that long or if it was a week long, but that's pretty impressive to put in a 1940-style single-wing tee.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I'm sure they were basic up front, and but they got after it, and their coaches were trying to win. They had a couple kids out, and they had to adjust, and, you know, kudos to them for installing something. And you know, now when everybody sees Crittenden do that on film, you're going to have to plan for that.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's in, and so that helps them in the long run. And, you know, like I say, kudos to their coaches for getting that installed. And You know, they had to try something, and they were trying to win a football game, and you know.
Yeah, from what I saw of Union County, though, I think they probably run the football better than Marshall County did last week. I don't know if they throw the ball as well as Marshall County did.
You know, I think watching Union and knowing Union's MO for the last couple of years, they want to impose their will on you running the football, and I don't think they make. I don't think they try to hide it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's just, you know, and they can throw it. You know, they can throw it, and we have to be aware of that on the back end. But I think that's their goal. And defensively, they want to get after you up front, and they want to try to control the line of scrimmage with their you know, four down guys up front and coming after you, and then blitz a linebacker or two and a run blitz and a pass blitz and be aggressive. So, you know, they're going to try to get after us on both sides of the ball, and, you know, we're going to try to get after them on both sides of the ball.
When you talk about Union County, though, for the last three or four seasons, that might be the best run they've been on in school history as far as football goes.
Well, I would have to defer to you on that, but I know in my lifetime I would say that's probably the best run that I can remember.
Yeah.
You know, that dude was unbelievable. You knew he was going to run it, but whether or not you could stop him was a whole nother ball game.
And they have to have taken a step back just by that guy graduating.
Well, I think maybe him, but I know they've still got a lot of their down guys from last year. We knew that coming in. A lot of their linemen last year on both sides of the ball were juniors, so that means they're seniors this year. So they've got a lot. They've got most, if not all, of their up front back. Now, they lost a linebacker and an outside linebacker too. But, I mean, they've got a lot of their core guys that were allowed them to run the football back. And when you get your down four, down five on offense back like they have, to have the success, when you make it, I mean, we know this from times past, when you make it to a state championship, win or lose, that brings momentum coming into the next year when you've got kids coming back, when you've got a lot of kids coming back. You know, it builds success, so they expect to be good.
Yeah. That Johnson kid, though, was just a different kind of talent. I mean, he was a kid that could play quarterback or running back. I think he's at Georgetown now, is that right?
And, I think so.
And maybe they're going to use him a little at wide receiver, so I mean, he's just a kid that he's one of those next level talents.
When you look at him, there's certain kids when you watch film, you just know they're different.
Yeah,
he was different. You know, and so, you know, I'm sure when people watch film, you know, against, you know, D and Elijah and Jalen and Tez and that bunch, you know that they're different.
And when Sindelar was out there, people had to figure that out.
Yes, and there's been guys we've played against through the years. You just know. You know, those guys are different. Last year when we played Murray High, Jones was different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was different. So there's guys like that, and Johnson for Union was definitely one of those guys.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY, Princeton, Kentucky. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning. We're talking with Bradley Stallings about the football game coming up Friday night out at Tiger Stadium against Union County. And, Coach, is the weather going to get us this week? Have you been checking the forecast?
We've been looking, but I don't. It's one of those things that's kind of outside your control. You kind of plan in the back of your head for both scenarios. But, you know, all we can do is show up and play a football game. So, you know, that's one thing I am definitely not in control of is the weather. There's a lot of things in life I'm not in control of, and that happens to be one of them. So I think we just plan for it, and we go from there. I hope it's not. You know, Coach McClung and I were laughing today. You know, by golly, it ain't rained in 2 months, and now they're calling it for rain on Friday. But if it does, it does. And I know there's a lot of people that need rain around here, so it's more important than a football game. So we'll just prepare and go from there.
Up until about 2 days ago, the forecast was pretty good for Friday night. And then all of a sudden, here come these thunderstorms in the forecast.
It was. And, you know, they were calling for rain today. You know, if the rain was going to happen, it was going to be this afternoon. And then, you know, 2 days ago, they switch it. So, I mean, whatever. It is, you know, that old saying, it is what it is. But, you know, I just think the rain, if it happens, it happens. You know, Coach Wilson, Matt Wilson, and I were talking this morning in the parking lot. We stand out and do parking lot duty in the mornings. And, you know, rain we can handle. You know, it's the thunder and lightning when you have to delay and stop and stuff is what you're kind of concerned about. But, you know, the rain, we just got to play through it. We just got to suck it up and try to figure it out and play through it.
Should be a big game Friday night. Again, a chance to get to 3-0 and, like I said, maybe keep that ranking going and maybe a few more people will notice us and, you know, kind of have the start of a special season going. But At the same time, if you don't take care of business every week, that special season can get away from you quickly.
You know, it can, but I think, you know, I just think right now, you know, the season will take care of itself. We've got to take it one game at a time. And Union County is the next team on our schedule, and we play that one Friday, and when it's over, we'll go about the next one. And where the season ends is where it ends. But when you build one at a time and you prepare one at a time and you see your kids getting better one week at a time, that usually sets you up for a pretty good season, and it also sets you up for a good run in the postseason, which is, you know, kind of what's expected around here.
Should be another exciting game. I don't know if my heart can take another one like the Marshall County game, but I think we'll see some more fireworks this week.
I know, you know, when I've heard Coach Gates and those guys say, you know, the older you get, the more you get a little, it's harder on you. And I know what they mean now. You know, when you're 35, it's one thing. When you're 45, it's different. And I'm sure as the older I get, the harder it'll be. But it is fun when that happens, especially when you come out on the winning end. But it's fun. It's fun for those young men. It's, you know, those are stories they're going to tell their kids and their buddies at Tiger Stadium, Lord willing, in 20 years. Hey, you know, the second game of the year, we were playing Marshall, and Cam Wilson, you know, stripped that guy and ran 40 yards. You know, those are the stories that you're going to tell. You know, Big Phillip, the freshman, picks it up. And, you know, he bumbled, stumbled. You know, those are the things that are special. And when it's all said and done, that's kind of what it's all about, really.
That play by Cam Wilson in the fourth quarter, you're not going to see him any better than that.
No, that reminded me, and I know these kids don't, they have no idea what I'm talking about, but that kind of reminded me of George Teague in Alabama when he stripped that guy from Miami, you know, and just took off the other way. So it doesn't, that's kind of a special play, you know.
Well, and give the officials credit for not blowing that play
dead. Absolutely.
It would have been easy to have blown a whistle and marked that dead, but the running back still trying to get yardage, and Cam just reached in and took the ball, and those cramps he had earlier in the second half, those were gone when he was running the other way.
Yeah, you know, and what you said is so true. I really hadn't thought about that, but that's happened multiple times over the years watching football games where the guy probably was stripped.
Yeah.
But the officials blew it down.
Right.
And so, I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but that's another good point.
Well, big game Friday night at Tiger Stadium. I appreciate you coming in this morning and talking football with us.
Thank you, Todd. And I'd just like to say thank you for the community for such a good crowd last week.
Yeah.
And hopefully people can make it out Friday night. And I know that these young men appreciate it, and I know that us old men appreciate it too. So it's just fun to watch, and hopefully we'll see everybody Friday night at Tiger Stadium.
That's Tiger offensive coordinator Bradley Stallings. We also appreciate Larry Vaught, longtime UK sports writer, joining us earlier on the show. And again, you can read Larry's work over at yoursportsedge.com. That's going to wrap us up for this Thursday morning on the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and yoursportsedge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.